Pending a referendum this weekend, signs that negotiations over Greece's debt might be continuing in the background. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Later today, the president of the European Commission plans a new statement on Greece, which is soon to be in arrears on its debt payment to the International Monetary Fund, although technically not in default. Greece's government is urging voters to reject the conditions of the EU's last bailout offer. Banks are closed, and although credit cards still work, many older Greek residents have no credit cards, and many elderly were seen sitting in front of banks today looking to get cash. Greece yesterday put in capital controls to stop money from flowing internationally. Even though their economies are very different, Cyprus learned some lessons that can be applied to the Greece situation. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Banks are rationing cash. European creditors are closing in. Sounds like I'm talking about Greece. But that was Cyprus 2 years ago. Lesson one from Cyprus, staying with the euro doesn't mean a trip down easy street. Cyprus still struggles with high unemployment. Lesson two, listen to creditors like the IMF. Charles Movid is an economist at IHS covering Cyprus.
Cooperating with the IMF paid off for Cyprus because after 2 years, they're on the road to recovery.
I don't think so at all.
That's Mark Weisbrot, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He says Cyprus is still in bad shape.
A lot of people have suffered. They're still unemployed. A lot of businesses went bankrupt.
But Weisbrot and Movid agree on lesson three. Limits on how much money can be sent abroad or taken out of a bank can help keep cash where it's needed. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Note that the Cyprus economy is less than a tenth the size of the Greek economy. We just looked it up. Now let's check the numbers. The Financial Times 100 index in London is down 0.25%, but the DAX index in Frankfurt, Germany has turned up 0.4% at the moment. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up this morning so far, about 2.5 hours before the opening bell on Wall Street, all of them up in the 0.4% to 0.5% range. In the U.S., the 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.33%. President Obama is moving to make millions more Americans eligible for overtime pay. Marketplace's Mark Garrison is here to explain. Mark, what would this proposal do?
David, right now, employees with a salary just under $24,000 can be considered management and barred from time and a half pay. The rule change from the Obama administration would raise the bar to just above 50 grand. The proposal would also make the bar flexible so it can take into account future inflation. That could mean fatter paychecks for up to 5 million Americans. Labor advocates are thrilled with the move. Some groups like the Chamber of Commerce are not happy, saying this rule would raise costs for businesses and that they'll have to cut hours for workers and convert them from salary to hourly. That could mean less money and fewer benefits for employees. Making a rule change like this does not require approval from Congress, but it's not a done deal yet. It'll be open for public comment and could take several months to finalize.
Marketplace's Mark Garrison, thank you very much. In Nairobi, Kenya, an upscale shopping mall attacked by terrorists 2 years ago is preparing to reopen. 67 people died in 2013 when Al-Shabaab, an African offshoot of Al-Qaeda, attacked this Westgate Mall. Nairobi is an economic hub in East Africa, but fears of terrorism have hurt businesses there and tourism and frightened away some tourists. Kenyan officials plan to reopen part of the mall tomorrow. And as Dan Bobkoff reports from Nairobi, not everyone believes that is the right thing to do.
Nairobi's prosperity is easy to see. New roads, construction cranes, and lots of upscale malls that serve espresso and hummus. I met up with Sadia Ahmed, a local radio personality, in the food court of Sarit Center. It's a mall just yards from Westgate.
The fact that they want to reopen Westgate Mall is a bit demeaning. It really is.
Ahmed hosted a weekly show on a Nairobi station popular with Kenya's Asian population. On September 21st, 2013, she was recording a cooking segment on Westgate's roof.
And then two explosions went off, and that's when we saw people run out of the mall onto the rooftop. And that's when we realized this is something bigger.
She spent hours running and crouching amid grenades and gunshots. Until recently, you could still see bullet holes in windows. There were ghostly outlines on the walls where there had once been shop signs. Then, almost overnight, a fresh coat of paint. Contractors hammering, new signs going up, the same name and logo as before the attack. There'll be a different color scheme inside the mall when it reopens, but it'll mostly look the same. It's a conscious decision to defy the terrorists.
It is a sort of a reaffirmation to citizens that, look, we are resilient.
Peter Alingo directs the Institute of Security Studies in Kenya. He welcomes the mall's return, but worries poor levels of security across Nairobi are unchanged. When mall security guards check people out with metal detectors, it's more a matter of performance than prevention. When Alingo goes to park his car, he's taken to asking the guards what they're looking for in his trunk.
They say to me that they are looking for anything that looks weird, that has some wires on it. And I said, what the heck is this? And how are you going to deal with it once you see it? They have no idea.
One told him, if he sees a bomb, he'll just run for his life. People living in the upscale neighborhood near Westgate are cautiously awaiting the mall's return. Some say it'll be strange at first. Resident Jyodli Dodley says she'll certainly shop there again.
But it'll be just for do what I need to and get the hell out.
But Sadia Ahmed, the radio host who survived the terrorist attack, just wants to see the inside of the mall to remember.
I will go back once, just for closure. But I would never step into that mall again to have a good time. Never.
In Nairobi, I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
And you know, crowdfunding, Kickstarter style, instead of a few big donors for a project, lots of little ones online. Now, someone's trying to crowdfund a bailout for Greece using the site Indiegogo. The goal is $2.5 billion, what Greece needs now to pay what's due at the International Monetary Fund in a few hours. As of right now, about $56,000 has been raised so far from about 2,500 people. If everyone in the EU donated the equivalent of $5, goes the online pitch, there's clearly an element of political theater here. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.